Would you hold up your Bible, please? I'm going to have you do something with me this morning. Hold up your Bible. I want you to repeat after me. Lord, we love you, and we love your word. Teach us today. Write your word on our hearts and on our minds. And Lord, apply it to our lives. Jesus, hold it to your chest. Hold it to your chest. Jesus, apply your word to our lives. Change us. Conform us to your image. Let your spirit teach us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. You ever notice that sometimes there's a tension in life between two good things? You're pulled in opposite directions. You're heaven bound when you give your life to Jesus, but you want to remain with those you love. You know you need to influence the world for Jesus, but you also know at the same time that your Christian input isn't always desired, wanted, and especially in today's world. You're called to prayer and to Bible reading, but there's not enough time to go serve other people and practically show the love that needs to be shown. What do you do? Well, I want to say some very simple points this morning. If you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'd like you to see these scriptures. I'll be reading from the New King James primarily. I want you to see these in your own Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. I'll use some other texts as well, or some other translations rather. But this first section, I don't even have on the overhead outside of just the address for where it is. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm reading from verses 8 through 16. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. Can you say with me, love along the way? Love along the way. There's the title of the morning's message. Let's talk about being strangers and pilgrims. There is a perspective that we've long talked about in this congregation that does conduct our life and practice, and it's a truth. And the truth goes like this. What you believe determines how you live. Say it with me. What you believe determines how you live. There's all sorts of philosophies loosed in the world, and you can see who subscribes to certain philosophies by how they live. If God's absentee and doesn't care, doesn't exist, people live according to the flesh and according to the world, and sin doesn't matter, there's no cost to sin after all, it might harm you, try not to harm others too badly, but it's a loose kind of living. But when you understand that there is a God to whom we relate, there is a God who brings the plumb line in life, there is truth according to His Word, and we believe His Word is truth. Say it with me, His Word is truth. And when we believe that, this Bible affects our life, our faith, and our practice, our life and conduct. How many want to live more according to the Word of God?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Me too. So let's take a look. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. By faith, Abraham obeyed. You there with me in that section? By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, verse 9, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, say it with me, first three words. For he waited for the city which has what? Foundations. He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is whom?
God.
Verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age. Has anybody in this room ever concluded, I'm too old to be used? Have you ever thought or allowed the thought to go through your head, I'm too old to be used? Sarah may have thought that herself. I'm too old. But by faith she received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, by him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, speaking of the heroes of faith in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were, say it with me please, strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now, verse 16, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, because of all of this, therefore, you always take a look to see what it's there for. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared a city for them. Now let me read that out of the message, and you can divert your eyes from in front of you up to the overhead. I have it up here for you, the message version. By an act of faith, verse 8, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised him, lived as a stranger camping in tents. Isaac, and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise. Abraham did it by what? Keeping his eye on an unseen city with real eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. By faith, barren Sarah was able to become pregnant. Old woman as she was at the time, because she believed the one who made a promise would do what he said. That's how it happened. From one man's dead and shriveled loins, there are now people numbering into the millions. Each one of these people of faith died, not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. Say that phrase with me. Transients in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they're looking for their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back anytime they wanted. But they were after a far better country than that. Heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them. And has a city waiting for them. Strangers and pilgrims. Abraham receives a call from God to move beyond his comfort zone to a different place. A place that God had chosen for him. Do you ever feel sometimes like you don't belong? Ever sometimes feel like life's just a little disappointing? Even at the highest moments. When that movie's over or that event ends, a little loneliness or a little something steps in, a little disappointing, nothing's quite perfect. Do you ever feel like you just can't quite get it all together? Look at each other and say, I know you feel that way. But God ordained a place. He ordained a life for us, and he ordained a place for a son who would walk without having seen that place. Who would move without having pre-tested, pre-controlled it, but simply obey God and go. Anybody in this room like to control life? Come on, let's see the show of hands. Come on. Like to control life? I want to know where I'm going, what I'm doing. You want me to do what? Well, let's study it. You know, and God says to Abraham, I want you to go here, away from everything that's comfortable, because I've got some place for you. Obey. Now, it took him a while to get there. You remember the story of Abraham, right? Who did he take along with him? He left his home, but home came with him. What was his name? Lot came along with him, his nephew. And after some years of distraction, Abraham got back on the path and walking with God. He just kept going. But where have you made a choice to live and why? You choose where you dwell, right? You choose where you dwell, where you inhabit. Lot chose, remember, to live by Sodom and Gomorrah because the place was easy. Remember, Abraham and he come to a place where there's too many sheep, too many herdsmen, too many, it's too much strife. And he says, listen, I don't want to hassle with you all day long. You pick. Abraham's being the greater of the blesser. And he says to Lot, you choose the place where you want to go. I'll go the opposite direction and we'll get along better that way. Yeah. And so Lot says, I think I'll take the easy way. Remember? Are you all with me? Come on, everybody here. Amen. Have you ever been tempted to take the easy way in life? The place of less resistance? Temptation? Or maybe in a crowd where people are putting you down for your faith and it's harder to stand up as a person who's a Christian. So it's easier to just not say anything. Right? Ever made that decision? Come on. Oh amen or oh no. Okay, sometimes we do those things. But the story goes on. So Lot goes and lives by Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's not an easy way at all. Remember, the Bible says about this guy, righteous Lot's soul was vexed with the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, you and I might not describe Lot as a righteous guy. But the Bible says his soul was vexed because the people were immoral. The people didn't want God. They didn't want anything to do with God. So he made a choice that got him into trouble. Now hang in there with me, but you know his choice cost him his home, his possessions, his wife, his marriage, and the Lord still delivered him, but he came out with just barely the robe on his back. You all remember the story? Come on, anybody in this room ever made a choice like that? You don't have to go into detail, but you know, sometimes you make a choice and you just barely get out with a robe on your back and you go, thank God for grace. Now, every one of us in this room ought to be able to say, thank God for grace. Thank God he is so good that he sometimes allows us to make a choice and then wake up to see that that choice was wrong and we're vexed by it. And God, by his mercy, delivers us. I'm so grateful for the grace of God in my life. So we have that happened. But Abraham made a different choice. Remember? He goes into the mountains. He takes the harder, the more difficult road. He didn't choose the easy life, but he chose the righteous life. And Abraham, the Bible says, sojourned. And that word sojourned means he literally, Hebrew means, he lived there as a foreigner in the land. This was the land God promised him, but he didn't live like he was king in the land. He lived like he was a foreigner. He didn't quite get comfortable in life and living because he didn't quite belong. Someone say amen. Amen. Now what I want to say is conclude that section with one point. Though the land was his promise, God was Abraham's provision. Come on. Though the land was Abraham's promise, God was his provision. And he knew the difference. How many love the promiser more than the promises? You love the promiser more than the provisions. How many love the provisions? Thank God. Driving a car, got clothes on your back, living in a comfortable home, you have food to eat. Thank God for the provision. But how many know who the provider is more important? He's the one who's given it to us. All right. Now, can you say with me, I am not home yet. I'm not home yet. Are you? There's nothing wrong with some of the activities in the earth. People are passionate. I read a big article in the paper the other day. Maybe some of you get the Leader. And there's a big article, big front page of this gal leading ballroom dancing. How many like to ballroom dance? Yeah, ballroom dancing. A lot of people love to ballroom dance. It's been a lot of fun. And some of us are all left feet, you know. I mean, it's just one of those things. But there are activities, sporting events, or hunting, fishing, or basketball, or football, hockey, fun stuff. But some people make it their entire life. Have you ever watched the commercial and stopped long enough about all the channels you can get on TV? You get all these DirecTV or Dish satellites, and you can have hundreds of channels, and the whole thing gives up. You can record every football game on this weekend. Have you ever stopped long enough to say, who cares about most of those football games? Even if I like football, who cares about 99 other teams playing? I only had one I wanted to see this weekend or whatever. You sit there and go, pay a premium so you can get all these channels that you don't watch. Okay, it's quiet in here. Must be a bunch of us doing that, right? But do you ever know it feels a little empty? You know why? Because we're not home yet. Because that's not where life completely is. There's an inheritance. There's a place. There's a Lord. We exalt you, Lord. There's a place where we're going to be with Him forever. An heirship, H-E-I-R. We're going to be inheritors of the grace of life forever. You have the promise. We have the promise this morning. Come on, church, every eye up here. If you died right now, don't do it, please, but if you died this afternoon, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Are you going to heaven or you're going to hell? Thank God if you've given your life to Jesus. By His grace, you're going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. That's good news. Somebody turn to each other and say, thank God for going to heaven.
All right, so the point is there is a place of obedience and a place of inheritance. There's a possession. There's a place with the Lord. And the scripture says, afterwards, after he walks in this way with God, with his eyes on him, he after receives an inheritance. What did he do? He obeyed. The point is, he had something to do before the promises were fulfilled. He obeyed God in walking in faith, and then that led to the promises being fulfilled. First things first, watch. First, his heart had to belong to God. Do you belong to God this morning? Secondly, he had to be willing to listen to God. Are you listening to God this morning? Even though what he heard might not have been comfortable or easy, sometimes we need to die to our flesh. Sometimes we need to die to ourselves. Sometimes I want to go this way, and you know it's not the right way to walk. Sometimes I want to entertain these attitudes, and God says, you know that's not the right way to walk. Come in under the harness and say, Lord, I'll obey you. I'll listen to you. I'll walk how you want me to walk, because that's how I know I'm going to come into the promises of God. It's not salvation by works, but we walk with Him by grace, and we devote our heart to Him. Amen? Amen? Jesus has called us sometimes from comfort to surrender, from a nice place in California to China, and now a nice place in Port Ludlow. Welcome back. But, you know, it's how it's gone sometimes. God takes our steps in certain directions and in certain fields, and we obey Him. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. He was a stranger and a pilgrim in this land. A stranger and a pilgrim in this life. Is that what you are? Church, is that what you are? All right, remember, number two, what are you looking for? For what are you looking? For what are you looking? Point number two. Abraham led his kids, led his family. They wandered, they lived in tents. And now we want to look at what he was searching for. A city that has foundations, the Bible says. By the way, it's the complete opposite of what he was walking in. How many know what he was living in? A tent. Didn't have any foundations, didn't have any roots, didn't have anything. And he's looking for a solid city that God is building. Have you ever listened to the news and been grieved? I know we're just chatting this morning, but let's talk about it. Ever listened to the news and been grieved?
Yeah.
The drugs, the shootings, the things that take place, murders and deaths and rapes and riots and chaos and more than ever. Why does it grieve you? Somebody say why it grieves you. Because we're not home yet. And that's not God's kind of life yet. Is that what you want? Something holy, clean, pure, righteous, where all of that, where the bars are closed and the jails are closed and where revival is the daily life that we have, living in the presence of God, singing and rejoicing. And what's heaven going to be like? I don't know, but it's going to be a lot better than this place. Someone say amen. And he says, I'm building something right now. God's building something. And it's going to be a heavenly place, a new Jerusalem, where streets are paved with gold. I know I don't talk much about heaven because we talk about bringing heaven on earth, but the Bible uses the metaphor streets paved with gold. You know what? A lot more valuable than asphalt that falls apart. A lot more valuable than the gravel on which you scuff your knees on. Something that's going to be the right kind of road, paved by the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. Heaven's going to be a place where tsunamis don't occur and flood nations, where snow doesn't keep falling and bury people, where mudslides like Oso don't occur, but where Jesus is lifted up and there's no heartache, no defraud, no illegal activity taking place, where we get to worship God all day long. How many want to go to heaven someday and love the Lord? It's going to be a lot better. It's going to be a lot better. But what we do now helps to bring heaven on earth. But what are you looking for? What is it that's got your eyes, your gaze, your heart? What is it you're focused on this morning? Abraham was focused on God in faith. And Sarah did too. Sarah had to cooperate with this crazy guy. You want to go where? You want to do what? We're going to have kids now? What are you talking about? And then she laughs at the promise of God. But in her heart, she had a faith that said yes. Church, I want to say one thing to you. God is willing to do for you more than what you believe Him for. Come on. God is willing to do for you more than what you believe Him for. And some of us believe Him for some big things. But God is able to do above and beyond all that we can ask or think. And He can do it in us. You're not too old. You're not too set aside. You haven't blown it too badly. You're not perfect yet. But God can use any of us. Turn to each other and say, I want you to know God can use you. Come on, I really want you to say it to each other. I want you to know God can use you. Sarah believed God was faithful who had promised. What has He spoken to your heart? What can you believe Him for? Something more. How many believe God can do something miraculous in these communities we live in? God can do it, and we've come here at this time in the kingdom to be salt and light in Port Ludlow and Port Townsend, Port Hadlock and Chimicum and Irondale and all of this region. God has called us to be light and truth in the presence of God to people that don't know Him. Now, Abraham and Sarah, all these others, they died in faith. They didn't receive all the promises. They received their ultimate promise. But the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The New Living says they were foreigners and nomads here on the earth. New American Standard, they were strangers and exiles on the earth. The NIV says they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. The stranger, the word literally again in the Hebrew means foreigners and guests. They were foreigners and guests to this life. Pilgrims means an alien alongside a resident foreigner. I don't belong to this earth. I belong to Jesus. How do you handle this kind of hard attitude? What do you do? How do you get there? Look at what they did. Look at what they did. They said about the promises, number one, they received the promises. In the Greek, it literally means they took the promises to themselves. This morning, remember, we raised our hands and said, Lord, I receive. Can you do that again? Lord, I receive. I take the promises to myself. Secondly, they were assured of the promises. And the Greek means they relied on them. Now, when you go out of here today and go to the store, you use some money, right? Anybody have any cash on hand? Okay. You want to bring it all up? No, I'm kidding. All right. So you got cash in your pocket. Do you know what you're doing? You're relying on something that is just a piece of paper and ink. That's it. But you're relying on a culture and a history that's established that it has value. You're relying on that. They relied. They were assured of the promises. Just as you go out and spend money, you don't even have to think about it. Sometimes you recognize it buys less than it used to. But there's monetary value and assurance that it will be received. Thirdly, they embraced the promises. The Greek means they enfolded the promises in their arms. See in your mind's eye, if you will, you're holding Jesus tight. He's the promise. And so when you receive a promise from God, hold him tight. And then, fourthly, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. In the Greek, that word confession means they assented, they covenanted, they acknowledged. I don't belong here. I belong to Jesus. Walking in the promises of God and taking the Word of God, relying on its Word, hugging and holding it close, and then watching what comes out of our mouth brought them to the place of promise and provision. Now, I'm going to make a simple third point. This isn't just defensive posture in life. Because we move from there, these are things that help us know how to walk in our daily life. If it doesn't apply to our daily life, it's only academic. But church, this is where we live every day. And don't be surprised if you don't always feel like you belong. There's a reason for it, because you belong to Jesus. Admit it. You're living for someone else, somewhere else, and you want to take, thirdly, as many people with you as you possibly can. I want to take as many people with me to heaven someday as I possibly can. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I don't know how many days I'm going to get. I do know that I don't want to be distracted by the junk of the world. I want to take as many people with me to Jesus as I possibly can. What are you doing with your life that outlives it? Giving Jesus away is that which will make the biggest impact. Listen, we're in a time of Easter season. His death, his burial, his resurrection. Verse 15 of this section tells us that if they had remembered the country that they'd come out of, they could have gone back. Have you ever met somebody that didn't really surrender their life to Jesus, maybe tried a little Jesus, and then all they could talk about was what they used to do? They wanted to go hang out with their friends. And tell me, how long did they hang in there with Jesus if they didn't change that? We've read a section in the Old Testament about the Israelites coming out of Egypt. 430 years in Egypt, and then they're coming across to the Promised Land. And every time they turned around, what did they say to Moses? How come you brought us out here to die? We had it better in Egypt. We had better food. We had better provision. We had better places to live. And they were in slavery. They were in bondage the entire time. But they thought fondly of the bondage rather than of the Promised Land, because there were some efforts and difficulties to getting the promises fulfilled. Now, we're saved by grace, but we get our lives conformed to Jesus by cooperation. Someone say amen? Nudge each other in the arm and say, he's talking to you. Talking to me. Talking to you. Don't live in the past. And don't long for the world. I want you to say that phrase with me. Don't long for the world. Be who Jesus has called you to be and created you to be. Get on with his kingdom and bring other people with you. Watch. Hebrews 11, verse 16. Verse 16, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Watch it out of the message. But they were after a far better country than that, heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them. He has a city waiting for them. Strangers and pilgrims, remember, what are you looking for? For what are you looking? And then number three, love along the way. That comes out as number two, should be number three. My fault, Pat. Thanks for trying to find number two. Love along the way. That explains it. Explains why we don't always fit in. But now, again, we need to take people into the presence of Jesus. John 3, verse 16. Will you read it out loud with me, please? For God so loved the world that he gave. Stop. God so loved the world that he did what? Not just a Christmas verse. God so loved the world that He gave. Who did He give and why did He give? He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Gospels conclude with the disciples being told by Jesus, go out and build disciples, make disciples, reach the earth for Jesus Christ, teach and preach and make disciples. You got a big job to do, and you got a whole world all around you lost and dying that desperately need Jesus. It's not just life about you and the toys you get in this life. You're living for something more. We're going to go to heaven someday when we die. But the most important thing we need to take is not just good memories of the gold we've got, but of the souls we've got to take to Jesus with us. If we get out of this, in fact, by the way, none of us are getting out of this life alive. But we will get out of this life with eternal life and precious souls to take with us. If we just give life away. And the most effective way to be about that business is to understand, I'm not living for myself in this life. Let me tell you a little story, and I'm going to close. Some of you know that I got married to the most precious woman on earth, November 8. Her name is Sherry. Did some of you know that? I'm in covenant relationship with Sherry. I love her with all my heart. Did you know that? But along with the marriage, I inherited a little cat and a little dog. Now, I love little animals. I love them. So little doggy, you know, is Yummy. Yummy is a wonderful little dog when you come, vicious on you when you go. She doesn't like anybody leaving. No, she's a great little dog. She's a great little dog. But there's this wonderful long-haired cat. If you like cats, it's a wonderful long-haired cat named Pepper. Now, the story behind Pepper, just so you know, is Pepper had actually been kind of an abused cat. And Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry brought the cat back, and Pastor Carl literally transformed this cat into a loving cat, and the cat is more loving today than ever. And just so you know, sometimes, I like black shirts, coats. If you ever see me with blonde hairs all over my jacket and shirts, I promise, honey, it's not someone else. Now, Pepper, what she loves to do, and I really will come to a close, Pepper loves, it happened this morning. I'm up early, pull out my computer, pull out my Bible, and guess what? The cat is up. The cat says to herself, Eureka, he's up. I have been waiting for hours. This is my chance. And guess where the cat flops? Right on my Bible. And I can reason all I want. I can look at this cat and say, don't you understand? I need to read this. And the cat looks at me like, I don't care. Anybody in this room like cats? Who doesn't like cats? I'll try to tell you a dog story next week, okay? Okay. So this cat, the motor is going. I swear the cat's going to wake Sherry up. The motor is going. And it could wake the entire region of Port Ludlow up at this moment, laying on my Bible. So, okay, I love you, cat. Love you. Gonna pet you. And, you know, this cat, hair is flying everywhere. I'm wiping it from my nose. I can't, you know, all over me. But the cat says, I'm in Fat City. This is what I'm living for. Now, the cat is not a perfect cat. The cat is kind of a unique cat in that it's got all white underneath. But in our case, our cat has turned blue because somehow she's made her way to laying on blue chair covers and a bluish bedspread. And the cat's blue. It's just going to have to wear it out for the rest of her life because, you know, that cat's not going to sit still for me putting it in the bathtub, right? You know, it's not going to put up with a dog wash. So the cat's all blue, a little bit odd. And some of you know cats. I really will get to a point, but some of you know what cats are like. Cat, sometimes that cat wants to lay there and take up all day long. In fact, let me tell you what I did. I had had enough. I'm sitting there going, I got work to do here, cat. So I pick up the cat and I walk over to the bed and I lay the cat right on top of Sherry. And the cat looks at me and goes, "Who are you trying to kid?" Jumps off the bed, jumps back around, jumps right back up on top of my Bible. He goes, "I'm not done with you yet, Kevin." So, it didn't care. Pepper did not care that I was a stranger and pilgrim in this earth. Pepper did not care that I was a pastor. Pepper absolutely did not care that she had a little bit of blue. And she's like a cat. You know, other times what cats do, they just disappear and don't want to be found. I'm a cat. Leave me alone. So, that's what it's like sometimes with people. All people want sometimes, they don't care that you're a stranger and pilgrim. They don't care that you're heaven bound. That's nice. They don't care. Maybe they've got blue markings on them and maybe they shed like crazy and you walk away and you know you got the remnants of them all over. You got hair, you got their problems, what I'm trying to say. But all they really want is your love. We got neighborhoods full of people that want your love. We got neighbors. We got family members. They don't care that you're a pastor, that you're a Christian, that you love the Bible. Won't you just take time right now and be the Bible to me? Won't you take time right now and be Jesus to me? Because as we're on our way, we need to love along the way to demonstrate Jesus to them. Are you interruptible? Are you real? Do you care? Will we just plain love them? Yes, we tell them the gospel. We give them our prayers. We give them what they need. We remind them of the Lord and what He wants. But sometimes, just like a cat that flops down right in front of you, sometimes they just need your love and mine. Let's give that love away to them and show them Jesus. Can we do that, church? Musicians, will you come? Love along the way. Father, we thank you that this day we know you're in charge of our life. We thank you that we are strangers and pilgrims in this earth and that we belong to you. But Lord, we want to take as many people with us as we can to heaven someday. We know that sometimes it's not easy, and life is not easy, but you've made full commitment to us, and there's so many things that you've done for us out of gratitude. We just want to respond to you, be sold out, keep our eyes on you, and keep going and giving you away. We love you, Lord. Can you say, "I love you, Jesus"? Stand with me, would you please, church? Stand up with me. Say it again. Lord Jesus, I love you. I surrender everything to you. I want to live for you and you alone. Be conformed to your image. Be in heaven someday. And bring heaven to earth today. With all my heart, in Jesus' name. Amen.